Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Appreciate it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage you to sign up, and all you've got to do is you've got to all you can do is you can text. What are the numbers? Do we have them up on the board up there? You can text, I think, these numbers. See if you can put those that up. Text these numbers. Text Jesus. Put these numbers in and text Jesus, okay? So I want you to text Jesus. And you text Jesus, and you'll get a mailing list from, an email from me. And the email will constantly have certain podcasts that are downloaded. Kent gave me this revelation last night. When I get a revelation, brother, I go for it. I don't know if it's going to work, but Kent told me, hey, listen, the best way to be able to get the information to people is try this. They can actually put this number in and text it. Is it up there? Just text Jesus to 66866. I am so glad it's not 666. That would be funky, wouldn't it? But text Jesus. It'll come back that the kingdom of God is on the earth. It's yours, and you'll know that you got that. And then what I'll do is I'll start sending you out some information, some of the teaching that we're going to start to dig into. And so most of this is just overview stuff, and we'll dig into it in relationship together. So it's good. All right. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word today. We ask you, Father, that your grace would be absolutely saturating us today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we're in a four-part series. I started two series last week. If you didn't get those, you can get them. I think they've got them available. And then we'll pick up on series three. Today what I'm calling, this is a series on transferring the kingdom of God to the earth. Today's message is, the kingdom is yours, you misfit. The dynamic worth of not fitting in. The kingdom is yours, you misfit. I mean, you're a misfit. Come on, if I were to dig, I know. You're just like me. But it's the dynamic worth of not fitting in, because Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Misfits. Just elbow somebody saying, he's definitely talking about you this morning. Don't do that. That's mean. Don't do that. I was just kidding. All right. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. The idea is an inner moral poverty. Bankrupt. Anybody in this room ever made a mistake, or is it just me out here? Anybody in this room ever kind of maybe slid a sin every once in a while, you know? Your halo, shine your halos. I know who I'm talking to this morning, right? Of course, we all have. And the reason why Jesus is saying this, that it is so incredible, that blessed are those that are poor in spirit. They make mistakes. They make failures. They haven't followed me perfectly. They haven't completed and obeyed all of the law. Man, they've got some sin going on and some attitudes going on and some anger going on. He's not validating any of those things as to allowing us to continue to remain in that state. How many of you know Jesus loves you just the way you are? He just loves you too much to leave you that way, right? He'll take you just the way that you are. But the reason why he's communicating this to us is that the kingdom of God is not based upon our morality. The kingdom of God is based upon legality, not morality. And he's going over and above to say, listen, this is not about you. This is not about you. I came for you. I came, and what I'm about to do and hang between heaven and earth, I'm going to absorb the things that you could not do in and of yourself. You couldn't keep the law, and the law must be kept, because the law does not move. It will not move for everybody. Jesus said, I'm not going to remove the law. You can't remove the law. God establishes it. I'm going to fulfill it for you. So consequently, if you try and base your access to God's rule, to God's kingdom, to God's authority, predicated upon your morality, you're going to have an up and down existence. Some days you'll get it right, most days you'll get it wrong. And what God is communicating to us is that, listen, the poor in spirit, they're just so broken, they don't have anything to give. Why is that important? Because in the kingdom of God, you must receive first. Nothing in the Father's kingdom can be earned. everything in the Father's kingdom must be received and enforced. We'll talk about that the second session. So he said, blessed are those that just are saying, hey, I don't got anything to offer, but as much as you give, I'll receive. And Jesus is going, oh, that dude is blessed. He'll just take it. Regardless of his screw up yesterday, he'll just take it. Right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want to let you know that I have a special gifting, and that special gifting, it's a knack, I believe, for misplacing things. My son will validate this. It's good to have my son, Jesse, right here. Twisted. He says he's 236 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. Is that right, Jess? He's 18 years old, senior year, playing football this year. He's single. Fathers, bring your portfolio, please. And I am taking names. And I will be dunked in the ocean for all this that I'm saying right now. He's a little bit bigger than I am. He can whip me, but don't tell him that, okay? Because I, since a young boy, I started getting that psychological edge. How many of you know you guys started lying to your sons about old man strength? Come on, right? We know it's a miss. We know it's a lie, but we just keep it the legend, right? So, good to have you this morning, Jess. Hey, I have misplaced a couple things. I've lost some things. I mean, folks, look at my head, all right? Right? I like to tell people, look, I didn't have a receding hairline. I had an advancing scalp. I advanced. I just moved forward, you know? That's how that works out. May not have misplaced my keys, misplaced my wallet. It's how I started my prayer life. Holy Spirit, I know you know where that thing is. I know you know exactly where it is. Help me find my keys. Anybody else in here lost some things, right? This story may or may not be true. I may have lost a couple. Ladies, let me just say this. Ladies are better at keeping things intact, all right? Especially when it comes to children. Ladies, we can keep track of one. Maybe stretching two, but you give us three, we're going to lose. I mean, Joseph was in charge of Jesus right when he was 12, and he lost him right there, just in the temple. And Mary turned to Joseph, where's Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the whole world? I don't know. I thought he was with you, right? So I left my, what was it, you or Sage? I left Sage in Blockbuster Video, right? And it's true. I got home, and I was like, hey, how many came with us, you know? And there he was, back in Blockbuster. I had to drive back, and he could care less, man. He was on a video game. Dad, this is so cool. This is just great, right? His mom had different sentiments about that particular issue, but the therapy seems to be working for him, so I think he'll be fine. You know, those are innocuous things that we lose, you know, seemingly innocuous things that we lose. But listen. There is something that we lost when Adam brought the human race under that curse of sin. We lost something so crucial to us that the very fact that we say we lost something is implied within that context is that we once possessed it. You can't lose it if you didn't once possess it on the earth. And we lost the authority, the dominion, the power to fulfill the purpose that God has called each and every one of us to in our various ways. With our various personalities and different callings on how we do it, we were called to take dominion on the earth. We were called to rule on the earth. We were delegated authority from God to advance upon the earth, and so that nothing, no spirit, no demon in hell, not even Satan himself, would have rule over mankind, but we would rule the circumstances, the situations, and when we face resistance in that authority, be able to possess the relational cachet and the authority to stand there and push the kingdom of God, his agenda, into what was resisting it. So that earth would one day reflect what is up in heaven. Now, God could have hit the God button and done it automatically. But what he did was he delegated his authority through his sons and his daughters, which were made in his image and made in his likeness. And when we function as Jesus, when we function in our original intention as God, when we begin to as God, not gods, but as, in his likeness, in his image, As we begin to function in that, something inside comes to order and it feels right. It's why there would be some screams in church. Why there'd be some radical praise. Because the kingdom of God is manifesting itself in that person's life. Jesus redeemed us. He restored our dominion. He'd empowered us to live transformed life. But there's a kingdom caveat to that. That is what we're going to talk about the next two sessions. And it's this, that we can only receive to the level that we believe we're worth. We can only receive to the level that we believe our worth. Our worth level determines our capacity to be able to receive. And why that is important is because, here it is, the kingdom of God advances on the earth to the level that people receive it. If I were Satan, use your imagination. Don't make it look that easy, okay? If I were Satan on the earth and I didn't necessarily have authority over you, I had to deceive you. I had to pull you into some kind of deception, some type of lie to pull you underneath my rule and my authority. I had you to believe the lie of cosmos, the lie of a fallen, broken system. Then what I would try and do with you is I would try and break your capacity to receive. Devalue you. Take the worth off of you so that you don't receive what is already yours, what is already your identity, and never move in it. Right? So the kingdom of God can only advance to the level that people receive it. And so Jesus would constantly say things like, him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Am I going to have faith and find faith upon the earth? To as many as received him. Come on, we could go quote that as 1 John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them, he gave the power to do what? To be the sons of God upon the earth. Receive first. But you see, what religion kind of sowed into us was give first. I got to love God. I got to love God with all my mind, with all my might, with all my soul. I mean, Jesus quoted that. Do you realize that Jesus was quoting the law, the Old Testament? That was under law. He was just quoting the Old Testament. He was giving us the reality of love God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your might. How'd you do on that? How's that working for you? Some days, but, right? The only way that we're able to love God with all of our heart is receive first. We can love him because he first love. God so what? Loved the world. God loved the world that he did what? He gave. Once God gave, it puts all humanity in a position of being able to receive first. So the enemy is going to come. The ruler of this age is going to come and try and harden your receiver. He's going to blind you to your receiver. He's going to bring hurts and disappointments and failures. And most of those hurts and disappointments from others, you'll work through. It's the hurts and disappointments and the times that you lied to yourself that set us back so far. Because sometimes we count that against us being able to access every single promise that is found in God's word. Okay? So we're only able to receive what God has done in our lives. We got about 15 minutes. So I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to give one principle now because this is the door of access. The next service, or I call it the next session, if you want to go out and get a cup of coffee and come right back, what we're going to do is I'm going to lay out for you how to walk into and walk out that access in the kingdom of God through the precious promises that he's given. The order on how we bring the kingdom of God to the teachings and our practical lives. And as I say, just, you know, text that. I'll give you these teachings. It's going to take a while. You can dig into it. There'll be scriptures in there, podcasts in there that'll help you to dig into it for yourself. But you got a purpose and you've got a plan and there's a way to implement it that works every single time. It never not works. Never not works. Just before I read this story, I'll share with you a little bit of my story that, for those of you that haven't heard it. I was brought up in the great state of New York. Can you say forget about it? Oh, no, that's how San Diego people say it. You got to say it like with some attitude, all right? Forget about it. Forget about it, yeah. Yeah, how you doing? Don't answer that question, by the way. That's just, you know, you just say it to people. They're not really asking. But anyway, my father was killed when I was 4 years old, and I was always high energy, tons of energy all over the place. I'm pretty sure I was ADD because all the way through school, 1A, the rest D's. And so I think that probably validated it. And so, you know, jumping off of things and doing all different types of stuff. And so I decided to jump between two buildings that were about four stories high. I was on about 2.5 stories, and I didn't make it. Wasn't a geometry whiz, okay? Needed a little bit more geometry. And so, you know, didn't calculate it right. I fell 2.5 stories going head first. And the workers that were there say, just miraculously at the end, I kind of flipped and I shattered both my ankles. I broke my leg, broke my wrist, broke, you know, a lot of things. Probably did some brain damage, I'm sure, someplace in there. But nonetheless, I had an accident. And I got a disease in my right ankle, and it did not heal to the point where the doctors were going to say, said the prognosis was we're going to have to amputate it, some kind of thrombosis or something in there where it wasn't getting circulation, and they were worried about infection spreading throughout the rest of my body. So if it did not heal, this is after 2.5 years in a hospital, that we were going to, they were going to have to, in and out of a hospital, they were going to have to amputate it. I had braces, I had special shoes, I had all this kind of stuff going on. Now, I had a label, and the label was some kind of learning disability and probably ADD. They didn't give those diagnoses back then, but it was just a label. He's got a learning disability. He's got high energy. You're going to, you know, he's not going to be able to learn. He's not going to be able to graduate school. He's not going to be able to go to those types of things, and you're going to have to put him in special schools and all that. I thought the psychiatrist was my homeroom in school because I always ended up at the psychiatrist's office first. I thought, you know, it's just like, all right, I'm the only one in here, and that's my home room, because that's where I ended up. And so I want you to understand that in the kingdom and on assignment, all things work together for good. I want you to say it. All things work together for good. Pitch labels. The enemy will always try and get you to determine your future based upon your circumstances, whether you created them or somebody else created them. But the gifting and the calling of God is without repentance. It was placed in you before the foundation of the world. You can't remove it. Nothing you can do can remove the calling that God has given you. You don't have to fulfill it. You don't have to rise up to its potential. You don't have to develop. You can't abdicate it. You have all of those underneath the choice of will, because God gave us will so that we're made in his image and his likeness, that we can volitionally choose his will. That means his love. That means that God is not going to cause you to comply. He is not interested in compliance. He's interested in obedience through passionate, trusting love. He could cause us to comply, but he can't cause us to just love him. We've got to willfully love him. So in all of that, everything is working together for good. Now, I might not have been able to sit in a classroom too long, but let me tell you what I did do. Unbeknownst to me, even though I wasn't a believer, unbeknownst to me, I would focus. And I could hear in a classroom, wah, 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 wah. But what I saw was me running. They said, you will never run. I said, I'm going to play professional football. I'm going to play every sport that there is. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to play rugby. I'm going to play this. I'm going to play that. And although they would just pat me on the head and say, that's nice, little boy, you're never going to do it, I would continue to focus on it and get it out of my mouth and get it out of my mouth. I'd speak it. People would make fun of me. They literally, in the hospital, 2.5 years, in and out of the hospital, they had to tie me down because as soon as those nurses left that room, I was out of bed trying to walk. I'm going to play professional football. And they didn't want me walking because it was damaging my ankle. Right? It didn't hurt, but I was like, I'm going to run. So they had to tie me down in bed, right? My mother caught on to that, and she did that till I was 18. That's terrible. That's a horrible thing. So anyway, so that was it. And I remember I was brought up in New York, and so my mother, we were Catholic, and she had ordered holy water from the Vatican because she's like, maybe God can do this. Some of you have heard this testimony before, and this is the truth. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling you the truth this morning, right? All right, so she ordered holy water from the Vatican. And so as she said, this is what's going to happen. There was an epiphany with some nuns, and these nuns saw Jesus, and when the nuns came out on Vatican Square, if you sprinkled the holy water from the Vatican on whatever it is, you're going to be healed. And so she got our little television set, and she set it up on the kitchen table, and she we had that little vial of holy water. Came in this little crystal vial. It was so cool. You just lift off the cap and holy water, blessed by the Pope. Well, she said, nuns are about ready to come out. I'm going to go into the other room, and I'll be right back. Never, ever leave an ADD kid with a vial of holy water that had been blessed by Pope alone. Because I was playing with it, and you know what happened. Boop, it spilled over right there on the kitchen table. Pope's holy water all over the kitchen table. So I had to go get some of the quicker picker-upper, you know, and quickly pick that stuff up, and I had to cover up this and create a conspiracy. And so I took that vial, and I rolled that little wheelchair over to the sink, and I put unholy water in it as quick as possible. I put that thing back on, and I put it on the table, and I just smiled at her as holy and as altar boyish as I could look. And nuns came out, she sprinkled the holy water, or the unholy water, and nothing happened other than the fact that I covered up that particular caper, and I feel like I saved my life. So anyway, she knows now, she's in heaven, but anyway, that's how it came down. She started watching this program called I Believe in Miracles, and it was a lady named Catherine Kuhlman. And so we were Catholic. We didn't necessarily understand everything that's going on, but she said, maybe this Catherine Kuhlman lady can help you. So she had her main meetings in Pittsburgh, and she had this huge, huge, huge cathedral, and it was old school cathedral where there was a balcony all the way around the top that came out maybe six or eight rows, and then on the bottom of the floor, there were people on the bottom of the floor, and it was packed. My church was never packed. There were people waiting to get in. And I was like, I thought we were going to a movie or something. I went, what are they waiting to get into church, really? And then there were drums and there were guitars and there was all this stuff going on. And people were moving. I know that this is true. I can promise you that pinches in a Catholic church are harder than any place on the earth, because I used to get pinched all the time when I would move, right? And these people are moving with permission. I liked it. And all of a sudden, the worship comes out, and people are raising their hands, right? And I'm thinking, those people got a lot of questions, and they need to answer those questions. Why are they raising their hands? They're just moving, you know, and I didn't understand it. And so all of a sudden, Catherine Kuhlman comes out, and she used to send ushers out into the auditorium to find out who's being healed and stuff like that. And an usher came over to me, and he said, hey, man, what's up with you? Because he saw my crutch. And I said, nothing, man, what's up with you? And he says, no, I'm in the crutch, what's going on? And I said, oh, I got a broken ankle. And they said, I'll never be able to run and I'll never be able to walk and, you know, any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, my mom brought me, and he's like, all right, you got to come down front. I get to leave my seat. You're telling me I get to leave my seat and come down front. I was gone, man. I don't know. My mother was chasing me. I was on that crutch. I'm going up on that platform, you know. Permission to move in church. Come on, church should be a fun place, right? So I'm up. This is nationally televised. I'm up on the platform with Catherine Kuhlman. And my mother's over on the left-hand side. She walks over to my mother, and she lays her hands on my mother, and bam, she falls out in the side. And I remember, I didn't see that in the Catholic Church too much. That's the first time I ever saw that. And I remember thinking, man, if she could teach me to do that, that could come in handy. Johnny? I'm going to Johnny's house, Mom. You be back. You know, you're not do your homework. Sister, just take the glory. Just take it. Receive it. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. I'll be back later. Right. So she's out in the spirit. And then Catherine Kuhlman walks over to me. Platform is a little bit higher than this platform, big auditorium. And she starts doing this to me, and she's talking. And usually when an adult was doing that to me, I was getting in trouble. But I don't think I was getting in trouble this time. I think she was prophesying something over me. And then all of a sudden, it was just like all I could see was her face, and everything else went dark. And this is the words that she said, and I still remember, and it's the calling of God upon my life. She said, son, they said, you will not run, but you will run because the greatness of God is in you. Now, this was the crucial. She then asked me, do you want to run? Do you want to run? Ah, that's the question. The promise is there. The promise was settled. But now it's not about God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Peter said, you were healed. The Bible says every promise of God is yes and amen in 2 Corinthians. All of those promises are there. God settled it. I love you. I am for you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I want you close to me. I will speak to you. I will give you all of the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. As far as God goes, it's settled. But now, what do you want? Do you want to run? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, then jump off this platform and run up and down that aisle. When she said jump off that platform, now I got the revelation why she knocked my mother out over there. Is she going to be fainting anyway, so at least she's in the spirit, right? And all I can tell you, and this is what I learned, I heard the doctor's prognosis that if you break it, we're going to have to amputate it. But I saw for years myself running. I saw myself out of that environment, out of that situation, out of the feelings, out of the circumstances. I saw, and I had been speaking that, and when the opportunity was there, all I can tell you is I was like Nacho Libre and his eagle powers. I flew off that platform. There was no hesitation whatsoever. I hit the ground running, right? And I ran. I was like Forrest Gump, run, Tom, run, you know? And all the way through high school, all the way through college, small college All-American, and into recruited by the NFL, run, when they said it is impossible. Now, the question is, how did that happen? Did that happen because God likes Tom and doesn't like this person over here so much? Did it happen because Tom's faith was so great? Man, I didn't even know there was a Bible. I had no idea. But unbeknownst to me, as a part of my calling, I was tapping into the principles that God had preset before the foundation of the world. And he wasn't worried about my holiness. He wasn't worried about how much word that I knew, how much I could pray, how much morality I had. I had no morality. I had nothing. I didn't understand. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they'll just receive the kingdom of God. And when they receive it, it'll work for them every time. And so it set me on the course of not just that it happened, but how did it happen? How does it happen? And I think that's a question that each and every one of us need to understand. 10:32, give me 5 minutes. How many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. All right, you guys have heard that before. All right, so let's just go into it, and I'll just lay this out real quick. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Make sure you text that number, and I'll give you the laid out principles here. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. It's the story of the prodigal son. And this whole chapter is a chapter that Jesus is teaching on the kingdom in the context of having lost dominion, having lost authority, having lost something precious, and having found it. And he culminates it with this famous story. He gives three or four different parables, and he's culminating it here. And I'll paraphrase. He goes on to say that the kingdom of God is like a certain man. And as he says a certain man, he says that he had two sons. And the one son came to him, do you remember the story? And said, Father, I want my inheritance. I want it now. Not that the father had a problem with giving the inheritance to the son, but the son was wanting the inheritance as broken away from the father, the same thing Adam and Eve did. We want the inheritance, we want it now, but we want it our way. We feel like we need to know it our way. And the son was willing to break the crucial relationship with the father in order to get the inheritance as a son. And when we do that, it releases two issues with us. First of all, it releases a mentality of self-will as opposed to self-rule. Self-will kind of just starting to want it the way that I want it. And so therefore, he ultimately had and developed a squandering mentality. Because he was broken from the principles and the person of the Father, he squandered the inheritance. Because we were never designed to be broken from that relationship with the Father. And ultimately, you might remember in the story that the son, he spent everything that he had, his emotional energy, his spiritual energy, his financial resources, squandering, trying to fill up a void, trying to gain an image. He would give money, wanting to project an image to his friends. And as long as he could project that image and they were accepting of him, he would do whatever they needed to do, needed him to do. Come on, many of us would lie to people to get us to accept them. We'll stretch a story. We'll drive a certain vehicle. We'll dress a certain way if they'll approve of us, if they'll accept us. We'll back off of who we really are and the gifting that God has given to us or the leadership expression that we're feeling strong in our heart. We won't speak up. We won't say it because they might reject us. They might hurt us. They might not accept us. And what if they don't accept me? This is what's going on with him, right? So he's got the money right now to be able to win them. But once that money is gone, he's empty. And now, empty, he finds himself in a state of just nothingness. He is in nothing. And the Bible tells us that he finally attached himself. You can only receive to the level that you believe you're worth. What's happening with this young man? He attached himself to a man that could care less about him, that had him feeding pigs. Not only was his worth so squelched that he would eat the food of those pigs. Jesus is being very intentional here. He knew his crowd. Pigs were seen as demonic. His worth got so repressed, he would eat demonic food. An addiction to meth is demonic. I've never met a meth addict that has ever said, I love this lifestyle. Every single one of them say, I want out, I want out, I want out, I hate it, I can't stand it, I want out. And it's taking them in a direction that they do not want to go, and they're choosing it because of that pattern that's inside, right? And this is where this young man finds himself. I bet you, as he was there in that pig pen, maybe some of you feel this way. He's down in the mud, in the muck, in the mire, and he's saying, how did I get here? I thought it would be different by now. I thought my marriage would be different. I thought we'd be in a different place. I thought, how I know better. Why did I sin like that? I know better. I know I shouldn't have that attitude. I know I shouldn't have done that. This is on me. There's no way. Yeah, for spiritual people, for godly people, for people that do better than me. But there's no way I'm coming out of this mess and muck and mire because I sin. I know. I knew what I was doing. My father told me. I knew every single time that I was rebelling. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God so loved us that while we were in sin, doing the sin, in the act, committing the act, that God loved us. He looked at us and said, that's my boy. That's my girl. Oh, there she is. While we're sinning, we're spitting in his face. That's my boy. That's my girl, because God cannot look at us in our own decisions. There was a decision that happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And God can only look at us through that lens. And so he doesn't say, stay there. He doesn't say, hey, you need to really, really, really be sorry for your sin. He doesn't say you haven't qualified. He just says, when are they coming? Draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. Right? And the Bible says here in this particular narrative that the second that son, the Bible says he came to his senses. He started renewing his mind. And when he renewed his mind, he said, a servant eats better than I'm eating right now. I'm going to go back. I'm going to be restored. But he wanted to be restored on his level because his worth was so repressed. So he came up with a plan, and he said, I'll tell you what we'll do is I will go back and at least I'll be a servant. So he has this whole plan, and he starts to, when he comes to the Father, he says to the Father, Father, I have sinned against you. It is on me. Please just make me your servant. And he couldn't even get it out of his mouth. The Father said, be quiet. Bring me the best robe right now. Bring me the signet ring that he didn't have when he left. He did not have that signet ring when he left. Now, in his restoration, God's restoring more than what he ever had been previously. Give me that signet ring. Put it on his finger. He wanted power and authority. He thought the world would give it to him. He doesn't know that I've given him all the power and authority. I don't hold that against him. God put that desire inside of us. Give him the sandals. Sandals represent that robe represents royalty, which is righteousness. And the only way that you're going to access the kingdom of God is if you are clothed in not your righteousness, but his righteousness. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. It is not based upon your merit. You could be in a sin and see the kingdom and access the kingdom of God immediately. You're saying, Tom, are you saying it's okay to sin? No, because sin and immorality has its consequences. It'll blind you. It'll harden your heart. It'll cause you not to receive. It'll lead you away. It has its consequences. But I'm telling you that sin is not the contingent as to whether or not you access the kingdom of God. It is your worth. It is your will. Everything in the kingdom is based upon his righteousness. And so we've got to get over the crying and the fasting and the praying for 40, 50 years to be able to try and access what Jesus Christ has already given to us. It is important that we start with the reality that God has made us his sons and daughters, and we don't qualify in and of ourselves. Jesus qualified us legally. This is legal. This is justice. So when you stand and you feel like you're separated from God, you feel like your sin is greater than his grace, when you feel empty, when you feel like you haven't done enough, when you feel like you don't qualify, when you sinned yesterday and now you need a healing today, and somehow, some way, something is there to say, no, you can't get that. You know what's going on in your life. When you blew a business and you got hooked up with a partner and your wife told you and your business partner, other business, people told you everything, but you did it anyway, right? It's at that point that you need to be able to stand and say, every single promise is for me, because it's not based upon what I'm feeling right now. It's based upon what Jesus legally did, because the kingdom of God is based upon what is legal. So therefore, that which is resisting you and the enemy of your destiny, you are standing there as a judge legally saying, you must move. You must go. Next session, we'll teach now how to do that. What I want you to get, first and foremost, is the righteousness that comes. You've got to enter the kingdom based upon his righteousness. He restored you. He put a robe of righteousness on you. He put a authority of a signet ring. He promised to provide provision for your feet. He is in celebration over you 100% of the time. He killed that fatted calf. Somebody asked, who was sorry that the son returned to the family? And smart aleck kid in the back said, the fatted calf was sorry, that's for sure. But what religion will tell you, you got to earn it. Work hard in the Father's house. You got to be at church every time the doors open, and even begin to qualify. And that too became a prodigal son. Be in the house serving with everything you got, trying to fix that identity, right? And what Jesus did is he said, listen, identity first. Identity first. You are a son. And when that, and a daughter, and when that drops into your spirit, right, that drops into your spirit, then you value. You will function out of that sense of worth. I have this. This is mine. If anybody is worthy to walk in this promise, I am worthy, because you can only receive to the level that you believe you're worth. Jesus took care of the worth issue. Does that make sense to you? Some of you have been hurt and set aside. You've seen other people get blessings and you're wondering what's wrong with you. You chop liver? Wondering what do I need to do? What do I need to do? See, not religion comes at you to try and disqualify you. Colossians says that it's the love of God who qualified us to be inheritors of every promise of the saints in the light. It starts with his righteousness. Just settle it. It's not on you, it's on him. So that we can empower you to begin to take authority, to take your legal power and enforce the promises that you have that are pushing you into the destiny. The Bible says that the kingdom is built, right, on faith. And he gives us the example of Abraham. And he said, there's a child of promise and there's a child of flesh. I only bless the child of promise. The promise is what has the power. That's the next session, okay? So let me pray for you. And then I'm going to have Taylor's going to come back, or Andrew's going to, or Chris is going to come back. Okay, one of these guys that all look good with the, you know, beards and the hips. One of the hipsters are going to come back and okay. Like the God. And then what I'd like to do is, after they come back, I'd just like to come back and pray for you, because I feel like that God is moving on some of your hearts. There's been abuse and abandonment in this room. There's been some violation. You love Jesus with all your heart, but somebody violated you. Okay, that set an imprint, and that imprint causes you to struggle with receiving. Maybe somebody abandoned you, maybe somebody walked away, and you just feel like a disappointment. There's a disappointment. I thought things would be different. We're going to let that old pass away. We're going to pronounce a new identity over you. Not that you don't always know it up here, but you get the revelation by the Spirit, so it drops in your spirit, and you start to function from that identity out of your worth, out of your worth, and that the more you feed it, that worth is going to grow, because worth is crucial to confidence. It is crucial. Confidence, and you've got to stand bold and courageous as you move forward in what God has called you to do. Does that make sense? Just put your hands up like this. Why don't we all stand to our feet, maybe? Father, I pray your abundant blessing upon each and every person here. Lord, I know I've been long. I've been 15 minutes over, but I pray, Father, in this moment, it's the only time that I've got with these precious people. Lord, they've got to rock this city, rock what God has called them to. There are books in here that need to be written, songs that are yet sung, poetry that needs to write up, athletes that need to sign contracts. There are people that need to be able to start their businesses and corporations. There are ministers in here that walked away, fell away, messed up, screwed up, messed it up bad, and the enemy's saying it's over. Lord, they need to hear your voice saying it's never over. Never over. Ever, 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 ever. I see somebody that has had multiple relationships and feel guilty over sons and stuff, and it's a kind of a deep thing. God's restoring it. He's healing it. And he says that you are my son, and I restore you this day. See somebody that's been disappointed in a business relationship because somebody took from you, and it just knocked you emotionally out. 2008, 2009, you got rocked in your business, and the Lord says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing in your life." I see a man whose father or authority figure, maybe the father left, but there's an authority figure that said, you're not going to avail to much. Not going to do much. And you live that out. You're set to prove him wrong. But you started making decisions, and you found yourself around the wrong people and attached to the wrong people, and they've all left you. And you find yourself here this morning saying, God, I'm at nothing. The Lord says, I'm going to step out of the nowhere into your somewhere and take you from nothing and make you something. Because my calling is intact in your life. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.